Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It's Friday, February 13th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you. And yes, I was kind of messed up there at the beginning. It is Friday the 13th. Hey, got a lot to cover. And yes, got a great show. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name again is Todd Cochran. You can check all my content out over at geeknewscentral.com along with my other contributing editors over there. Of course, you can check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. We hope that you'll sign up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter will get you all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That newsletter contains all the topics I'll be talking about tonight, including all of the listener-submitted stuff. You can always submit stuff to the show by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. At the end of the show, we'll go over all of those great email comments and some voicemails that came in. Well, I tell you, I'm just a little bit upset tonight at the folks at Ustream, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. But for those of you that are on Ustream, I want to welcome you, because I'm broadcasting via the old school way and not via my TriCaster directly. And I'll talk about that again here in a little while. But it's been a pretty exciting week here in Honolulu, because we had a tornado in my, essentially in my backyard. Well, it really wasn't in my backyard, but within about a mile and a half, as the crows fly, we had a real mini, I guess for a better word, mini. It actually touched down on a golf course and flipped over a couple of golf courts, carts, pinched a guy up against a wall, tore up a couple of trees. It was on the ground for, I don't know, pretty slow moving, minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, with, get this, top sustained winds at 70 miles per hour. So it was... But, you know, it made national news, and we don't get tornadoes here. This is only a second one in like 4 or 5 years, so doesn't happen very often. Hey, I've had a couple of incidents this week where using a service that I've used for a long time turned out not to work so well. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Free Conference Call. You can find it at freeconferencecall.com. And this is a service that my team at Raw Voice has used for years. We've done meetings on those lines. We've done interviews for at least 4 years. That service has worked fabulously. It really has. And for a free service, really no complaints, you know. Once in a while, we'd have a little dial-in troubles. But the last 2 weeks in a row, the service has been just unusable. Completely unusable. And so now we basically said this, we can't do business this way. You know, we went for our meeting, things were running. We were already running late and couldn't dial in. So what I'm looking for is a reliable conference call system where a number of people can dial in. They can have a meeting basically via telephone. I know unless you're going to say, hey, Todd, why don't you use a Skype cast, or why don't you guys, you know, but the problem is, the team is either mobile, they're in front of their computers, there's all kinds of different situations, and what works out the best is for my team to call in to a conference line. And if you've got any suggestions, I definitely appreciate any suggestions you may have, and of services that are out there. Willing to pay for it, of course. And I'm sure some of you out there in the business world are using some type of a conferencing system. You know when Facebook has come of age, when your mom, your sister, your aunt that I didn't really knew was on the internet that much, all are on Facebook. I was kind of surprised. I really was. The first invite I got was from my mom, and then my sister showed up, and then my Aunt Tammy showed up, and it's like they, euphoria, they found Facebook. And I have to give them credit for going over there and giving it a try. And I hope that they have fun on Facebook. But you know when you've hit the jackpot, when your mom, your sister, and your aunt are on, and you know, non-geeks whatsoever. And my sister, she's been the most surprised because she's run into a number of her sorority sisters and people that she's her husband is in active duty Navy, so she has moved around every 2 to 3 years and lost touch with people at old duty stations and so forth. So she's caught up with them. So she's really stoked about using the service. What are you guys' experience been? Are you guys using Facebook very much? I'm finding myself going on there a little bit more than I used to, and primarily just to kind of see what my sis is up to, and my mom as well. But I thought I'd just share that with you. Hey, once again, I'm going to put the call out. I'm looking to add 2 more editors to Geek News Central. So if you are a blogger, you like to write about technology, love to talk to you, love to have you come on board as an editor. You can send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. This is a paid blogging position, so you'll get paid to post. You get to write about whatever you want to write about, of course. And I think I'm looking here. Actually, I'm actually watching my stream tonight on Ustream, and it looks choppy. Those of you on Ustream, is the video choppy or is it running okay? But anyway, if you're interested in being an editor, let me know. Drop me an email, and I'll send me some links to some websites you've contributed to before, or your own blog. If you haven't, maybe send me a sample post or something like that. Okay, thanks for the folks on Ustream saying it's smooth. Appreciate that. I really do. Well, let's talk about Ustream a little bit. As you all know, on the last show, I came back from Japan, and I was thoroughly jet lagged. I probably shouldn't have done the show after, and an afterthought. But it was like the old mailman. Got to do the show. Got to deliver the mail. Got to deliver the podcast. It's just the way it is. And when I got, I had flown all night, got home in the morning, got a couple hours sleep. I got everything set up. The studio's all set up here. The TriCaster, I fired up. And it's basically just push one button, stream to live output. I load the Ustream interface up, and I push on there, start broadcast, and I'm on. And real easy. Takes me 2 minutes, really, to get the broadcast up and running. Well, about 20 minutes into the broadcast last time, the Ustream stream dropped. And it's really annoying because I'm doing this show primarily for you, those of you that are listening to the audio podcast. So when something goes bad on the Ustream stream, it kind of becomes more of a distraction. But, people are staying up late to watch the show in different parts of the country. So I want to be able to be online for them and they can watch the show live, like a number of people are tonight watching the show live. So, and it drops dead. And so what I do is I stop the audio recording because I can do that. This is a podcast. And I go over to the machine and I reset stuff and I try to get the stream going. It just wouldn't start. So I say, okay, I'll just chalk that up as Ustream having an issue. Well, little did I know, tonight when I got ready to do the podcast, fired TriCaster up, got everything going. It's my normal time to, I was going to start about 8:45 tonight, my time local. And I press the button to stream. I go out and load the Ustream interface, and nothing. And I'm like, what is going on? So I go over to NewTek. NewTek.com is the company behind Ustream. I go over to the forums, and I type in Ustream, and there's about 20 forum entries on Ustream over like the last 5 days. Well, it turns out, for some unknown reason, yet to be announced by Ustream, they quit supporting the stream that was being pushed by the TriCaster. Now, talk about infuriating me. Because when I'm pushing via the TriCaster, the video quality is much better. Because what I've had to do tonight is before Ustream supported this, what I would do is I would come out of the composite, out of the TriCaster. I would go to an A to D converter. And I've got a real nice one, an A to D converter that is probably about $500. It's an expensive pro one. I would come out of that via FireWire, go into my machine, a computer, and then audio plug-in, and then I would load a Flash Media Encoder up, load their little XML file, and press start. And basically do the same process, except for this, I bypassed all this stage of this, you know, of all these extra pieces. So tonight, sure enough, I get Flash Media Encoder going on the laptop. I start the stream. Everything comes up fine, and here we are. We're up on live on Ustream right now. But I don't know if it was some policy decision at Ustream that made them do this, or if something that they have changed is broke. I haven't updated my machine here, and it's really frustrating. It really is. And, all of you are seeing the ads come up on the Ustream screen. So, you know, I had complained about that, but I understand they got to make money. I want them to stay in business. So, you know, I put up with their ads on the screen. It's no problem. It's all good. But to not support, to drop support without telling anybody anything for the TriCaster is beyond frustrating. And I was being nice. I had the, I'm pushing right now 500 kilobits upload, 530 some kilobits per second with the Flash Media Encoder on the laptop. And on my TriCaster, I was pushing at 448 kilobits per second. So I was actually pushing at a lower bit rate with the TriCaster than I am with Flash Media Encoder. So it can't be because of the speed that we're pushing. Matter of fact, I think they throttle you. You go too high and they just shut you down. So if anyone from Ustream is listening, what's going on? Okay. And someone asked me on Ustream, am I using... do I use Mogulus? No, I don't use Mogulus for this exact same reason why I've been using Ustream, because I can push directly from my TriCaster into Ustream, or at least I could up to this point. And Mogulus doesn't allow that. You have to use Flash Media Encoder through it, and it's basically you adds extra steps. And I really don't want that. It's just I've got this real expensive machine here. It streams a live output. And it's supposed to go directly to their site. And Mogulus doesn't support that. Mogulus, video quality is not as good as Ustream's. Their encoder is better over here. So anyway, if someone from Ustream is listening, hey, what's going on? What is going on? You know, please tell me. But anyway, that's my little rant about Ustream. And I know you guys didn't want to listen to the show to hear me rant about this all night. So I got lots of cool stuff to cover tonight in tech. But, of course, I want to take care of a little business here tonight. If you guys can't see it, actually probably can't. Some of you can see. I'm wearing my GoDaddy shirt. I have two official GoDaddy shirts that I got a couple of years ago when I was hanging out with my buyer. And really, GoDaddy's a big supporter here of the show. And when you are looking for domain names, when you're looking for hosting accounts, shared hosting accounts, you name it, GoDaddy.com really has what you need. And when you get to that checkout counter, you can really support this show by sharing my not only my promo codes with your friends, but using them yourselves. That code Todd, T-O-D-D, will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. So I appreciate the support for those of you that are supporting me by purchasing products through GoDaddy.com. Okay, as well as the roundtable. And the roundtable, Tech Podcast Roundtable, sponsored by GoToMeeting. And Andy and I were talking, we're going to have a roundtable, not on Valentine's Day, but we're going to have one on the 21st of February. So we hope that you'll come out and hang out with us for that. And of course, that event's sponsored by GoToMeeting. And this show, of course, is sponsored by GoToMeeting as well. You know, business travel is a profitability killer. So do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, launch sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from your desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use, you'll have your first meeting running in seconds. Plus, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate, free voice IP and phone conferencing included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here as well at the Geek News Central Podcast. Okay, as well, let me go ahead and bust into the content tonight. I got a pile. I mean, it's a huge, it's for some reason the news cycle has been running where there has been a lot of news for me to go every night I record for my Friday release show. And one thing I do want to do a shout out. Adrian Bacon is the podcaster that creates Microsoft Newslog, Apple Newslog, and Linux Newslog. If you just Google that name, you'll find Adrian's podcast. Adrian had been off for about a year, and he had taken a hiatus. His work schedule had been pretty heavy, but Adrian's back, and he's producing a show again. So get over there and check out Adrian's show. I just want to give a shout out to him. And I'm going to put Adrian right up on an ad buy here in the next couple of days because, you know, in these tough economic times, I want to make sure that we're helping all of our members over there at Tech Podcast, of course, all of our members at Raw Voice as well in the Blueberry community. So I want to welcome Adrian back to podcasting. He has foregone pod fading and is back with us. So, Adrian, welcome back to the podcast community. Okay, let me go ahead here. And like I said, I got a pile of stuff for you tonight. And we're going to start right off with an article that is affecting Dig users. And if you are a Dig user and you're using Internet Explorer, be careful. Because malware writers are targeting Dig with fake celebrity stories. So, you know, where the web goes, the malware authors follow. And what they're doing is malware writers in China and different places in India, they're using a large number of network people to drive a Dig story to the front page, and then that Dig story, when people click on it, drive them to a web page that is loaded with malware. And if you have a browser that is not protected, you're going to be infected, and they're going to own you. So be very, very careful here. The folks over at Dig have been very aggressive in removing users that abuse a system. They don't. They haven't had. You know, it's a tough thing to keep up with. They have terminated more than 300 accounts due to malware. But you know, just be careful where you're surfing, what software you're using, and you know, just if you go to a site and something pops up and trying to offer you something to install on your computer or something like that, just you know, be careful, okay? And so they're sending you off to these sites, and of course, there are always these juicy celebrity stories. So I don't think they're doing it on tech stuff yet. It's been primary celebrity stuff. So this crowd should be safe. Should be safe from the from these folks at this point. All right, moving on here. I've had a big fan. Well, actually, I've been a big fan of Neuros, and that's Neuros. They've created some really cool stuff, and they've really bucked. And I mean, they have, you know, fought against the traditional media companies out there in that they released a lot of different boxes that allows you to, I guess, how should I say it, record stuff onto the device that normally would be protected. They've come out with lots of open source tools. And last year, they introduced a new box. And it's called the Neuros Link. It's a set-top box that runs on Ubuntu. And the Links brings web-based streaming media services like Hulu to your TV and can really be repurposed easily to run on different devices. It can be recorded. It can be stored on a hard drive. You know, I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff. And I've been waiting for this box to have some good, basically some reviews. And I found a great review. Someone got their hands on one. And hey, folks over at Neuros, you guys didn't send me one. But it's nice to see what they've done there. And a very good write-up on it. So a couple-page article. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you to check out. And the box is relatively inexpensive. But again, all these great offerings now for you to bring media into your TV, you know, you just don't have to, and it's a stylish box. You don't have to have Windows Media Center hooked up to it. This thing will do it all right from its control interface. So I have this, again, this review linked up on the show notes. Over many of you that listen to the show, I think I probably got at least 10 emails from listeners that said, hey, Todd, did you hear about the Russian and U.S. satellite colliding? And I had actually heard about it before I got the first email, because I'm running the feed reader continuously and watching for updated news. But a U.S. commercial Iridium spacecraft hit a Russian satellite that essentially was no longer in service. The Iridium spacecraft absolutely was in service, but they collided at pretty significant speed, and there was just total destruction of both satellites. The impact produced a cloud of debris, which is being tracked, and they figure there's about 600 pieces that resulted from the collision. And this is the first time. This is the first time that we have seen an impact like this. Now, these two satellites were operating at about 800 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. The Hubble Space Telescope is located about 600 kilometers. The International Space Station operates about 345. So it gives you an idea how they're kind of stacked in there. So I'm sure we're going to see more of this as satellites are up there and they're, you know, becoming more. Well, it's crowded. You wouldn't think it would be crowded, but as many satellites as they've been putting up for as many years, it's definitely not a good thing. I think there should be some sort of international consortium rule that satellites have to be deburned. I think they should force, there should be some rule that if you put a satellite, you put a satellite in the air or in space, when that satellite gets to its end of its life, you should be required, unless the satellite fails, I think they should be required to splash these things in an ocean. I just don't think, you know, okay, you think about this, folks. This is 2009. What's going to happen? What's going to be like up there in 100 years or 200? You know, are they going to have robots up there that are going out and grabbing these things? And, you know, maybe they're going to be deorbiting them. I could foresee that happening. But there's so much stuff up there now in the scheme of things. And this is time to, you know, I wish the international community would do this. I'm sure that some folks will say, oh, no, you can't have all these chemicals, or you can't have this debris coming back in. But, you know, if they deburn it and put it in somebody's backyard, then they pay. If they kill somebody, then they pay bigger. But I think they should have to deorbit these satellites. I know it's probably not always possible, and I'm sure that most governments who put up satellites for military purposes probably would not want to do that, because they're probably worried about pieces falling into the wrong hands. But even though it was a low probability event, it happens. So we'll see how many more times this happens in the coming years. But what do you guys think about that? Think that companies should be required to deorbit these satellites when they're done? You know, it wouldn't take too much propellant to get them headed in the right direction, right? There's nothing out there blocking them, okay? So, you know, you just nudge them in the way they're supposed to go, and you would think that they'd be able to do that. All right, big news out of the Postal Service. The Postal Service saw a decrease of mail by 9.5 billion pieces last year. And they are, even though they're getting ready to increase the price of stamps on May 11th by 2 cents, they are really struggling. And they're looking to figure out what they're going to do to save money on, you know, what they're doing to cut costs. And they're talking about, you know, only going to 5-day delivery, all kinds of different things. But some point, folks, we're going to have to get to a point where we just don't get mail anymore. How many of you would just prefer not to get any mail? You know, I'd prefer to get my checks, my everything electronically. I wouldn't want to, you know, there's just no reason for it anymore. Now, I know that there's people that don't have computers, and there's going to have to be some sort of postal service, but it's definitely time for a revision. And I'd love to hear you guys' ideas for a revision of the postal service. And what do you guys think about 5-day delivery? Are you guys usually most using FedEx for delivery of packages and so forth? But we'll see. But delivering mail digitally sounds like a good idea. And maybe have a special, you know, digital account where, you know, magazines come in, junk mail coupons, you know, all that stuff. Have a special. We get enough spam as it is, but some of the stuff you get in the mail you want to look at. Sometimes you don't. It goes right in the trash can. But what do you guys think? Hey, I have to tell you guys tonight that here in Hawaii, of course, there's lots of plant life, lots of flowers. And in our yard, we have jasmine. And we have a plant that blooms at night. It's called night jasmine. And I've got my window open in here, and there's a breeze blowing in here. It smells gorgeous. All I can say is, just imagine the aroma of jasmine in an enclosed office with the little light breeze coming in. Oh, I told my lovely wife tonight. I said, "Wish we could bottle that." I said, "If I could bottle that for you and get that exact aroma," I said, "wouldn't that make a nice Valentine's Day present?" She kind of laughed. She said, "Good try." And fellas, you didn't forget, did you? Did you know in Japan that the fellas don't have to do anything for February 14th? I told you about going to a store and with my sister-in-law and standing in the Valentine's area and all the Japanese girls looking at me kind of funny because I was the only guy in there looking at stuff. Yes, in Japan, guys get off the hook for February 14th. But in March, it's payback time. And the guys have to come up with their own candies and gifts and dinners and diamonds and Gucci bags and expensive footwear and you name it. So they definitely work it on the other end. So anyway, I just had to share that with you because I'm just sitting here. This aroma is coming in and it's great. Those of you that are Apple users, Apple has issued a massive security update for Mac OS 10 today. It fixes 55 flaws as security researchers are actually kind of complaining. And they're saying, okay, Apple, what's the deal? 55 bugs? 55 security bugs? They patched Safari. They patched Java. Just a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, and I had my Mac off and I turned the Mac on and I used the Mac to watch the downstream of the show. And as soon as it popped up, it said, hey, I got 49 megs of stuff that I want to install. Put your in little passcode, and I put it in, and it needed a reboot. So, you know, Apple's releasing some serious security updates. All right, the folks at ASUS are planning to reduce the variety of triple EPC netbooks. Over the last year, they've sold 4.9 million netbooks. And I told you guys already when I was out at CS 2009, when we went into their booth, there was just like 100 different varieties of those netbooks. I mean, I was just kind of, I sit there and kind of, where do we start? Maybe they were listening to the show because they started out with one and then they just had this whole variety. It was like being at a vegetable market, you know, because there was 25 different varieties of apples, you know, and oranges. And it was just, I was like, what is the deal in this booth? So maybe they've listened and they're going to reduce the number that they're actually selling and make it a little easier for people to figure out which models to pick up. But 4.9 million triple EPC netbooks last year. And I know many of you that are listening to the show have one of those. All right, Microsoft, Symantec, VeriSign have joined forces to find the down-a-dupe worm. Microsoft is offering $250,000 for info on hackers. The Icon is involved in the effort as well. This down-a-dupe worm is infecting 2.2 million machines a day. And they can become very aggressive in trying to stymie the downloads and stymie the number of infections. Once this malware, I guess, says gets into a PC, it generates a list of 250 possible domains, and the list changes daily. It selects one and then uses that URL to reach a malicious server from which it downloads additional malware to install on the hijacked computer. Symantec and other security vendors have been really going after this in a big way, but they're so lucrative. These folks are registering as many as 250 domains a day to stay ahead of the security people. And you think about the dollars involved there and what they must be getting off these machines. and what they must be doing with these machines, it's amazing. They're working with the main registers to take them out as well. That's where the icon comes in. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But this is a big battle that they've got going on now. Make sure your machine is patched. You won't have to worry about it. Keep your virus definitions up to date as well. Hey, YouTube, welcome to the club. Yes, you can now, on select shows at YouTube, download them. Not only download them, if you have content that you want to sell, at least initially you won't be able to, but select vendors have been asking for a while to be able to sell videos, and YouTube's going to, you know, basically join the podcast crowd. And you're going to be able to buy videos. There's a My Purchases tab that's going to be added to the YouTube space. And they're talking with the partners and so forth. So this is pretty interesting. Now, folks, all you got to do is figure out how to make content that you can sell. I don't know. We'll see. How many of you will pay for videos on YouTube? What would you buy? That's a good question. And I don't know. I just took a shot of water here. So, and I got a little piece of ice with it, so I apologize for the little ice rattle going on here. But I don't know. But it is kind of interesting that they are monetizing through downloadable media. And hey, Google, if you need some help measuring that stuff, I've got a great stat system we'd love to license to you. Okay. And Google also today announced that it's jumping ship on the radio ad business. Google has said selling old media doesn't work. Wow. When are you guys going to start selling new media? When are you guys going to start selling to podcasting? I don't know. We'll see. But a bunch of people at the Google radio advertising section have gotten pink slips today. And they are jumping out of that business. You know, they've been in it for a couple of years. And they haven't had a lot of success with it. Clear Channel has been a big a pain in their neck because they've been pretty aggressive in competing with them. And, of course, with the announcement that Sirius and XM are in big trouble financially as well, maybe going into bankruptcy, it could change the dynamics of things. I think I forgot. Oh, no, I got a good bankruptcy story to tell you here in a few minutes. Some of you may be worried, but anyway, Google's out of the old media advertising business. Those of you on Twitter, hey, be careful what you're clicking on over there. If you're clicking through, just be careful because there's been some hacks as of recent done where people have been basically kind of tricked into clicking on things, and it sends out a tweet with the same exact link that you just clicked on. So just be careful, you know, make sure you're clicking on stuff from people that you know and you trust. And that tiny URL at times can be, you know, it can be really useful. But at the same time, you don't know what you're really clicking on. But there's some plugins out there. And the one that I use, actually, I don't have it listed here. Maybe I can tell you which one I use. I use the plugin Powered Twitter. And what Powered Twitter does is when the Twitter page loads, I can actually see the real URL and the title of the web page I'm being sent to. So that kind of helps as well. It decodes the tiny URL. Now, it probably does something in the background, probably tries to load some of that data, which probably could be dangerous in itself on my part. But Power Twitter seems to work pretty good. At least I like using it. Hey, Netflix, man, they are just rocking and rolling. Netflix has added 600,000 subscribers since January 1st. Do you guys think that's a sign of the economy? You know, people maybe are saying, okay, we're not going to go to the movies, but we can get movies rented, you know, from Netflix on an unlimited basis, really. You know, just, you know, get a video here, get a video there, DVDs, watch it, send it in. And if you're pretty good, you know, get 8, 9, 10 DVDs a month, depending on how many you're watching. But 600,000 subscribers since January 1st tops 10 million subscriber mark. Of course, all of you know that I've got a sponsor on my website that's a competitor of Netflix. So we hope that you consider them maybe as a subscription service as well, the folks over at Blockbuster. But The folks at Netflix are really doing a good job, and they're into the streaming service, you know, with their distribution with the Roku and going on to Xbox 360, a bunch of DVRs. You know, they're really scaling, and they're scaling quickly. Cable subscriptions, I'm sure, are going to be suffering as, you know, as all of you are bailing out on some of these services or some of these, you know, premium channels with the cable network. So we'll see what happens with the folks over at Netflix over the next 6 months. I think they're well suited to go a long, long way. All right, those of you that are on Charter, Susabel, I know you're on Charter, but cable company Charter filed for bankruptcy today. And they have, or actually they're going to be filing for Chapter 11. Of course, Charter is controlled by Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. And apparently they've reached some sort of deal with investors to restructure the company under Chapter 11. And the deal will reduce Charter's debt by about $8 billion. And investors and bondholders getting a mix of new stock, equity stakes, and some cash depending on how much stock they have. Paul Allen is going to remain controlling interest in the company. So, you know, here you go. You get a company that is just announced some of the fastest speeds of service available for people in the St. Louis area. Of course, I think that's in a ritzy part of St. Louis. And then at the same time, they're in trouble financially, and they're going to file for bankruptcy to restructure stuff. So those of you that are in the St. Louis, Missouri area are actually a Charter customer. I'm sure you'll be getting notices from them, and they'll probably be telling you how healthy the company is and not to worry about anything. Everything's going to be okay. But it's kind of scary when a company like this, who serves so many, has the potential of, you know, going out of business. And someone will pick them up, but who? That's the question. Over at ehomeupgrade.com, there's a very interesting service that I was introduced to tonight called SecondRun.tv. SecondRun.tv brings Hulu content to the Windows Vista Media Center. So this is a pretty cool add-on to Windows Media Center. And you can find the information out over at SecondRun.tv. And while it's only Hulu at this time, maybe we'll see more stuff coming from that. But it's organized in a very easy-to-follow way. That kind of has almost this voodoo type of interface look. So if you've got a Windows Media Center, Windows Media Center PC connected to your TV, go over there to that SecondRun.tv site and add that add-on. Over on technologyreview.com, this is an article that a magazine section of the website that's published by MIT. They are reporting on a new protocol or a new tool that will detect illegal files without slowing network traffic. And what this is a new technique has been developed for detecting and tracking illegal content transferred using BitTorrent file trading protocol. According to the creators, I'm reading from the article here, the approach can monitor networks without interrupting the flow of data and provide investigators with hard evidence of illicit file transfers. Now, we all know that BitTorrent can be used to transfer a lot of valid legal content. But we also know that pirated movies, music, software can also be transferred. And this new tool says that they'll be able to sniff the stream without anybody being able to detect that the feed's being manipulated with. So this is kind of interesting, and I wonder how Google, on one of their new initiatives, is going to be able to handle to detect if an ISP is doing this. Now, we've talked about an initiative that Google did to basically see if internet service providers were throttling peer-to-peer traffic, but at the same time, I wonder what they're going to do about this. And really, you know, it's an interesting situation, because internet service providers, really, their best interest is to not know anything. And the minute they get into the business of sniffing out traffic and then pinpointing people that are doing stuff, then, you know, they almost have a legal obligation then to do something about it. So I don't know how they're going to do this without maintaining their, you know, their safe haven of, you know, we're just a provider. We provide the service. What our users do on the service, we don't know. Obviously, if they get a court order and have to go after somebody, they have to comply with that. But, you know, you know, that I don't think ISPs are interested from a legal perspective in detecting this type of traffic. Maybe they are. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see what develops with this and how ISPs implement it if they do. All right. For those of you that are Palm users, Palm has pulled the plug on Palm OS and, of course, has bet the future on pre-web OS. And we're all pretty excited to see the pre-web OS in action. I'm sure Apple is really excited to have that come on board as well, because it looks like they're going to go after them in court. But Palm is working really hard to convince 30,000 Palm OS software developers who have created over 100,000 applications to move to its new operating system. You know, and I'm sure most of these software developers are probably developing applications for the iPhone. You know, you look at the groundswell of applications that are available for the iPhone, it's just shocking. It really is, the number of applications out there. So Palm has got a big challenge in front of them to make this happen. They really do. Okay, I got the windows open, as I told you. Someone's car did not sound like it was dragging a muffler as it drove by. I guess signs of the economy. Okay, and you know, takedown notices happen all the time on video sites. But what do you think about this one? Ancient tribal dancing. Okay. Is there a copyright on that? Is there IP? You wouldn't think so. But apparently, the New Zealand government has agreed to give intellectual property rights on an ancient tribal dance back to that tribal group. The group says they're trying to defend the dance from being exploited commercially, which undermines the significance of the dance. So these folks are going to claim copyright on a native dance that has been handed down generation after generation, probably shown to tourists, and then they're going to go after tourists and doing a takedown notice? I don't get it. I really don't. Hey, how many of you have Bank of America credit cards? I have one, and let me show you guys on YouTube. Okay, not on YouTube, but on Ustream. I'm holding up one of my cards, and I covered up. Actually, this number's expired anyway, and I'm holding up another card. Well, when I got back from Japan, actually, when I was in Japan, I had problems with the main card I used to charge expenses to. It worked some of the time. Sometimes it didn't. It was being rejected, and I got back and, you know, thought it was maybe just because I was in Japan and they were doing some sort of security implementation. But the day after I got back, I got a new credit card in the mail. I got this one. And then 2 days later, I got another one. Same account. Different numbers. And I was completely confused why I would get, first of all, my first card canceled, get a second card in the mail, thinking this is going to be my new card for some reason, and then get a third card in the mail telling me that the second card they sent me has been canceled already. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, my God, what is going on? Have I been a little identity theft? Is someone playing games? So I called Bank of America up on the phone and got them online. And I said, what's the deal? Why'd you cancel my card number ending in, you know, XXXX? Oh, sir, that card was compromised. I'm like, well, really? When was it compromised? Well, we were informed by a vendor. Which vendor? Oh, we can't tell you that, sir. Okay. So my card was compromised by a vendor. Interesting. Okay, I got a new card here that came in the mail 2 days ago, and its number is blah, 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 blah. What's the deal with that? Oh, sir, that card's been compromised as well. I'm like, how could it be compromised? You just issued it to me. It's still got the please call from your home phone to activate your phone card. Oh, sir, we were informed by another vendor that your card was compromised. I said, well, it must have been compromised by Bank of America because no one else has got this card. No other merchant does. What's the story? And he wouldn't tell me. So the third card, or actually the second card that came, I said, is this card good? Has this one been compromised as well? Any of you had this go on the last couple of days with Bank of America? Does anyone know what the real story is here? Is there a news story? Did Bank of America get hacked? Did Bank of America be the one that was lost information? I told the guy on the phone, I said, you guys are really, you know, making me wonder if I want to do business with you. So, anyone else have that experience? This is interesting. It really is. So love to hear back from the Ohana on this, geeknews@gmail.com. No, it's not geeky, but it is got a little bit of intrigue. And I was doing a little bit of searching online, and I found nothing about Bank of America saying they had a breach. But a new card they sent me 2 days after the new card they sent me, something's hokey. Really is. All right, and of course, the big stimulus bill is going to be voted on today by the Congress. So we'll see how $789 billion are going to be spent. But I do know each year that nearly $30 billion funds medical scientific research that is accomplished by universities, private firms, and so forth. But what happens with a lot of these paid research, these publicly funded research, the folks that do the research, when they find, you know, this miracle cure, or they found the results of some enzyme does something or some molecule does something, well, what they want to do is they want to get published, right? They want to get published in a journal, in a scientific journal. Well, these scientific journals are very, very expensive, and it's a very lucrative business. These scientific journals cost the people that subscribe to them thousands of dollars a year to be subscribed to. These people have to submit stuff. Then they have to pay to have it reviewed, and the people that review it for free. You know, all this craziness going on with these journals. Well, that federally funded research, which is being put into these paid subscription journals and reported on, is excluded from general public viewing. Well, a couple of years ago, Congress said enough. We're paying for this research. It should be publicly available, right? Our taxpayer dollars is paying for that. So what they did is they put into some legislation that said, okay, after 1 year, you journals have to release this information and make it available for free. You're going to have a year to, you know, basically have it under privilege. But after that, you have to open it up. Well, this Representative Conyers, and I don't know which district he's from, but if he's your congressman, you need to get on the phone. Representative Conyers has introduced new legislation to try to lock up federally funded research. In other words, he wants to put this stuff back into hiding. Is that fair? So you need to get out there and you need to call this representative and let him know what you think, okay? So I think his name is Representative Sonny Conyers, maybe, but it's C-O-N-Y-E-R-S. If he's yours, go after him and any co-signers on the bill. So hopefully there won't be stupidity and more stupidity in Congress. Well, time will only tell. Well, I'm running long here. I know I got a lot more articles to go through. And there's a great article over on Tech Dirt. It's The Myth of the Original Content Creator, and it's a review of a review. Okay, so it's a review of a review of Larry Lessig's most recent book, Remix. And if you haven't picked this up, if you're a new media person, you want to pick up Remix. Okay, this is a great book. It really is. And I like what Larry Lessig has to say. He's dead on when it comes to copyright stuff, and it's a good book. But this individual, copyright lawyer Mark Fisher, has got this opinion that he says, if we move toward making content free for copying, distribution, and remixing, the professional creators and their distributors will have even tougher future. Erosion of copyright system comes at a price. If we have to choose between encouraging original creativity and remixing, why not err on the side of encouraging the originators? This is where he takes everything out of context. If you take a small clip of something and talk about it in context and you make your own opinion of it and you claim fair use of that and you give proper attribution back, there should not be an issue, right? If we follow the rules and give proper attribution, don't use a complete clip of something, don't steal something outright, then we should be fine. We should be able to fit within the laws that has been laid out for this country, at least for the United States. But this guy, this lawyer, of course, let's protect the content creators and let's not allow remixing or review or fair use. Let's get rid of fair use. Buy the book Remix. Read this article. And I think that you'll say, This guy's out to lunch and just protecting his self-interest. Quickly, Vizio is going to stop selling plasma TVs. Pioneer announced today that it's also going to quit selling flat-screen TVs. So, wow, Pioneer and Vizio are out of the flat-screen business. Well, Vizio is going to stop selling plasmas. They're going to still make LCDs. But Pioneer says, hey, I'm out of the flat-screen TV business. For those of you that are big Twitter fans, the Shorty Awards have been announced. I want to give a big congratulations to a local Hawaii Twitterer. It's Aloha Arlene. She won the personal category. Congratulations to her. She was on my 24-hour podcast. So I'm glad she was able to win her category. Congratulations there. Space news. Progress spacecraft has been launched to the International Space Station. It's carrying up a load of fresh fruit, oxygen, water, all the stuff that the folks at the ISS need. And maybe a while before they get a visit up there. They're having some concerns with the space shuttle. All right, there's a cool new site being launched by the folks at Mozilla Labs. It's called B-Spin, B-E-S-P-I-N. And B-Spin proposes an open, extensible web framework for code editing that aims to increase developer productivity, enable compelling user experiences, and promote the use of open standards. So this is basically where people are going to collaborate together on web projects. So this is pretty cool. So if you're a web developer, check out B-Spin. It's a Mozilla Labs project. And congratulations to Doug Kay and launching SpokenWord.org. And it's the newest podcast directory, it looks like. And it's got a lot of things that Blueberry has. It's got a subscription system. But congratulations to Doug and the launch of that. And we'll be sending over some OPML to him to get all of our sites shows added to that site. So congratulations to him over at SpokenWord.org. When we were at CES, we actually contemplated doing a video on this, but we didn't because we didn't feel it was child safe. And I'm actually hesitant to talk about it tonight, but have you guys heard about electronic cigarettes? What they are is they look like a cigarette. When you suck on them, the little light comes on the end, and they actually contain like a little nicotine pack, so people actually get nicotine from these things. And these are becoming quite the rage now, and people are buying them. They're going into bars because no smoking rules, right? But they're able to use these in bars and without avoiding, you know, be able to get their nicotine hit. It's kind of disturbing to me, and it almost reminds me of the you know, when I remember as a kid, they had these candy cigarettes. I just wonder how many kids are going to be going after these things. I don't know. It just makes me wonder. It really does, the motivation behind this a little bit. But interesting article on NewScientist.com about the if it's a safe substitute or, you know, the health effects about this this new phenomenon that we're seeing people utilize. If you're a MacBook owner, if you're a new MacBook owner, are you frustrated with the new audio jacks? It appears that a few owners of Apple's new unibody notebooks are experiencing some serious issues with the unit's redesigned audio jacks, and it all has to do with their proprietary new plug that you have to deal with, and with people having issues of just getting bumped a little bit, and it's changes, or it comes out the speaker instead of into the headset. So, what do you guys, you had any problems with that? My wife, she hasn't had any problem with that yet. Former EMI boss is basically saying that fighting against peer-to-peer usage is useless. I thought that was quite revealing that this EMI official would actually say that. So it's kind of interesting that they're finally realizing that the peer-to-peer battle is going to be very difficult to be won. On the green side, Newton Running Shoes, the folks over there tried to come up with an environmentally safe package, and what they ended up finding was it was cheaper and more environmentally safe to pack shoes in a regular box. So I thought this was kind of fun. It was one of these green projects gone wrong. I have that linked up in the show notes. Those of you that are Linux users, hey, Mono over at monotechproject.com or mono-project.com, there's a new product or new application over there called Moonlight. Moonlight is an open source implementation of Silverlight. This is primary for Linux and other Unix/X11 based operating systems. So if you want to run Silverlight videos and stuff on your Linux machines, download Moonlight. It's available on the monotechproject.com website. I found a good article on personal branding. It's basically a 101, 102 type of article. It talks about how to build your own brand, maintain your own brand. I've got some thoughts on that myself, but we'll save it for another show, but I'll have it linked up to you in the show notes. This is a good one. It talks you how to evangelize your brand, pitching your brand, how to do some search engine optimization, how to get access to events, writing articles, and so forth. So that's a good one here. I read through this, and it's lots of good information on it. You know, when I was in Japan, I tried to find these USB displays, USB video displays. I went into a bunch of places, looked for them. No one had them. Showed the guy a picture of these Mimeo USB video displays, and these guys thought I was from Mars. So I came home and I ordered one online. I thought I was going to be able to find one there. So you can get these online, and it's over at thegadgeteers.com. So I was like, I'm in Japan. How come I can't find these things? They always have the cool stuff early, and they didn't. Hey, have you been to Starbucks and you ever seen someone there with their laptop and 25 books on a table? Well, Gizmodo has an image that I think is going to just, I kind of like was appalled. It's a picture. It looks like some guy's desk. Looks like some guy's actual office desk. He brought in a Mac Mini, a flat screen, an external hard drive, a keyboard. He's got his iPhone charging. He's got, looks like a box of Kleenex. He's got a book and several. I mean, it's like this guy has moved in. Wow. If I was a Starbucks owner, I'd be like, sir, you can't do that. Bringing a laptop in is one thing, but bringing your PC in? Wow. Well, you got to do what you got to do. But, I'm sure we're going to see more of this, don't you think? Article over on GigaOM talking about O'Malley's breakup with the iPhone. And basically, too many disconnected calls, having AT&T download issues, and basically said, bye-bye, AT&T. And he went over to T-Mobile and picked up a T-Mobile. You know what? One thing I'm going to say about T-Mobile, rock-solid connection. Now, there's a few places here in Hawaii when I'm driving. I know there's a transition point. But otherwise, I never get a drop call. Never. And, you know, I've got my iPhone hacked to and running on a T-Mobile SIM. And I never dropped connection. It made me laugh that he went and, you know, he abandoned his iPhone for a T-Mobile phone service. So it doesn't say if he's actually canceled his Apple service. Maybe he'll just use his phone for browsing or something. I don't know. But any of you other iPhone users, have you said goodbye to the iPhone? Okay, let me go ahead here. I actually did good. I got through everything here pretty quick. I've got two voicemails for you, and I got a number of emails. But as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And I've actually got the mini camera set up, and let me see if I can give you guys on Ustream a little bit of the what did I do there? I'm not probably end up dropping the camera before this is all over. Let me switch in the other view, the side view here, so that you guys can get a shot of that. So you guys see the side of my head and bald part of my head, too. So, yes, I probably need some hair plugs up there or something. But anyway, let me go ahead and bounce into the voicemails tonight. And again, the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And as soon as these are done, we'll get into the email comments. Here we go on the first one.
Hey, Todd. This is Seth calling from Michigan. On show 449, I believe it is, it's your February 6th show, you're asking about wireless in Japan and for a good way to get wireless connection, internet, basically. I don't know for sure, but what I would do is I would check on the Fonera network. If you go to fon.com, it's F-O-N.com.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those guys.
There's a big Fonera movement in Japan, and basically, it's an effort to get wireless internet to anyone. So, for instance, if at your house you have a Finera router,
I do.
Then you would have that turned on, and that would be not only broadcasting a private SSID for your home use, but also a public SSID for anyone else who is sharing their Finera. As a result of you sharing your Finera from home, you will have wireless Finera connection to anyone else's public SSID wherever you might be. And I believe that will include even other countries such as Japan. Once again, it's FON.com, F-O-N.com. I've actually used the standard Finera. I've not used the Finera Plus or the Finera 2.0 beta, but I've used the standard FON many times, and they work quite well. And if you're really advanced, you can actually install the DDWRT firmware on them. It takes a little bit extra work, but if you install that, you can actually set them up to bridge mode and a bunch of different settings. You can do really cool stuff on that if you're really advanced or any of your listeners are. I believe they cost about, they're like $40, $50. They used to have a bunch of promotions, so they might have a promotion again at some point. I think that is it. All right, keep the great show. All right, bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And, you know, I got one of those running here. And when I was in Japan, boy, I tell you, I had the Wi-Fi on 99% of the time. I had the connection in the hotel room, but when I was out and about and in coffee shops, or very rarely did I find an unsecured Wi-Fi connection. Most of the, I would see a list of 20 Wi-Fi connections, and all 20 of them would be locked down. So I did not have much luck finding any. But great tip there. Definitely appreciate it. That was a good one. And if anyone's ever driving by my house, you'll definitely be able to pick up my wireless that's available for you basically get in. And I just have it set up so you can use it for free. Let me go ahead and play the next voicemail here.
Hey, Todd. It is Seth from Michigan calling you up.
Oh, two voicemails.
You're talking about AMD's new chip that they released. It's actually their processor.
Yeah.
It's called, it's pronounced Phenom.
Oh, Phenom.
And phenomenal, but you just pronounce the first part of it, Phenom.
Phenom.
And okay. That's their second one, and so it's their Phenom 2.
Cool.
Also, I'm calling about the Intel overclocking.
Yeah.
What I heard, I believe this is correct, what I heard is that the reason why that they are supporting overclocking is mainly because they wanted to prevent people from purchasing the lower-end chips and then overclocking to the speeds of the higher chips, therefore not allowing them to sell more expensive chips,
right,
which makes sense. But here what they did is that they are allowing you to change a lot more settings for the higher chips, such as the front-side bus adjustments on there.
Yep.
I can't make the exact terms on it. But they're allowing you to change a lot more settings on the higher-end chips, so then you can overclock those even further. And therefore, they'll sell more of their higher-end expensive chips. I've not heard about the laptop overclocking, but that's pretty cool. It's a cool boost to hear about. That is it. All right, keep up the great show. All right, bye.
Hey, thanks for calling. You know, and basically what the guy said was that, of course, they didn't go into any details on why they were allowing this. But it essentially boiled down to the simple fact that they wanted to, you know, kind of help the community out. And maybe that was just their, you know, their way of saying that. But I don't know. It was cool. I was, you know, I was literally shocked to the core that they were offering a tool and that they were they had a kiosk where they were talking about overclocking, you know, for years into, oh, don't overclock. You know, that's the worst thing you could do. You're doing it at your own risk. And here they are. And I'm sure they're probably still saying you're doing it at your own risk, but they're giving you the tools to do it. Yeah, I think that'll make a lot of the overclockers pretty happy. All right, let's go ahead and get into the emails here. Got an email from an anonymous sharer. And he says, hey, Todd, I'm not sure if you've highlighted this weird site with the weird math, but I had to share this. He says, check out tweetergetter.com. TWEETER, getter.com. Anonymous sender, wink, wink. It definitely looks like a multi-level marketing type of a thing. And basically, what the site is promoting is, imagine you got one Twitter follower today, and that number doubled every day for 1 month. How many followers do you think you would have? Answer, 1,000, 10,000, 10 million. The correct answer is over 10 million followers. He says, please don't credit with me sending this to you. I just don't understand how people are so dumb and wasted their time with this stuff, all this. How did you find it? And I know I can say that to you because you're a good longtime listener of the show. And thanks for that. I appreciate it. But, you know, those are not the type of people I want to connect with. You know, really, I don't. I don't want to connect with those folks. I get an email from Adrian. Hey, Todd, just listen to show number 450 about not being able to load different tabs in Google Reader. I'm curious what you try doing because I use Google Reader for all my shows and load the full page of each story in different browser tabs on every show. What I do is when I am looking at the article's entries in Google Reader, I right-click on the title link of the article and select open a new tab. It opens a full page of the article in a new browser ready for me to talk about. This should work with any browser that supports tabs. I know it works in IE7 and Safari, which is my main browser, and there's no reason it works in Firefox. It makes it nice because it's very lightweight. I can read, share, star items in any browser, and it's about the same. I exit from another computer, which... much like IMAP email you talked about in the show, I also don't have to worry about what computer you use to access my story since they're all in sync. Hope this helps out. You know, I guess I haven't tried doing that, Adrian. I think I'll give that a run. We'll see how that works. A lot of it has to do with my workflow, and you know, maybe it's just maybe it's time to teach an old dog new tricks and give that a try. So thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. Got an email from Dale. He said, basically Dale sent me a link to the two satellites colliding. I appreciate that, Dale. And Bree as well. Thank you, Bree, for sending the collision article as well. Got an email from Yitz. He says, hey, Todd, if you use Google Reader or Firefox, you can open links into the articles into separate tabs. So everyone is telling me, give me some advice, he says, and then use Tab Mix Plus add-on, which will allow you to save an entire session tabs for later use. The other option, built in Google Reader, starring, you could star the articles you want to talk about and then unstar them after the show in preparation for the next show. Any article starred, you can find a separate folder. You know, I think that's the best idea. I think that's maybe the best way to go yet. And that way, a couple days before the show, I can actually start pulling stuff. But thanks, Yitz. Everyone's got great advice here tonight. Got an email. Actually, this came in through our contact system on Tech Podcast, and it comes from Zach. And he says, at the end of your show, you mentioned the turkey pick of a bone conduction headset. You mentioned that you're uncertain of who might use this product. Well, my son was born with an external ear canal, so he uses a $3,000 hearing aid to amplify sound via bone conduction. I can see use for the product for people like him that are unable to comfortably wear a headset. Just an FYI. Love the show. Keep them coming. Thanks, Zach and Denver. You know, Zach, you're right. I forgot about that. I forgot. You know, I think the first time I heard about that bone conduction stuff was when Rush was talking about it when he was suffering his hear loss. He got that is that what it is? A cochlear? I can't even pronounce it, but it starts with a C or a K. The implant. Is that what your son has? You know, we could hear it, but I wonder how that. You know, being that your son was born with this, how has that been for him in adaption? I'm kind of curious, you know, because I'm sure his perception of sound is a little bit different than ours. Very interesting. It definitely is. Thanks for the input, though. But you're right. So good one. Got a real long email from Stephanie. He says, hey, Todd, in episode 447, you were interested in finding out how Santa Clara County in the South Bay was doing. I have not had the opportunity to load your new podcast on my PSP today, so I don't know what kind of replies you've received so far. You're the first, I think. My father, who is a specialized engineer, brought our family over to Mountain View in 1996 from Moscow. I'm an art student living, working, and going to school within Santa Clara County. From what I have heard and seen, things are, in fact, going pretty bad around here. All the major companies are still doing well. However, they have begun cutting extraneous expenses and firing people. There are a lot more garage sales and state sales on the streets. Going down to my local Goodwill, I've noticed that in the last couple of months, there's been a flood of various items, so much so that most of objects on the floor are going for up to 50% off all the time, simply so they can clear space for more things from the back rooms in order to free up space and turn to be able to have the capacity to receive more donations. Also noticeable on the streets are various properties for sale signs. As families were unable to pay back bank loans, moved to apartments, or were evicted, a lot of businesses were obviously like Circuit City and KB Toys are shutting down. Local malls are under stress over like this over like this anywhere else. The long lines, the lines at the recycling center have grown. I also found my local recycling guys are usually out of space by the end of the week when I get there week after week. In addition, I witnessed an increase in people riding around bicycles with multiple bags of cans. Crime and theft increased. People I know in general are aware of the rise of theft and afraid of leaving things in car for fear of having windows broken and so forth. In the last couple of months, my schoolmates' friends have had their cars broken into more than the previous 2.5 years. In terms of unconfirmed rumors, there are also things I've heard as well. For instance, Google used to have five-star chef cook in their cafeteria and put on fantastic meals for free to anyone who was working. I had heard that this extravagance has been mixed, and I'm sure many companies are doing similar things to shut down those events. I've heard from a friend there are sort of scores of families out on Craigslist begging for people to let them spend the night because they have kids and don't know what to do just so they could live in a garage for a couple of days or something like that. Also read there's an overabundance of turnouts at job events, car sets like that across the country, and various free food meal handouts. I've instantly come across on occasion across a mountain of belongings stashed away in backpacks outside an abandoned property. After brainstorming with some friends, we came up to the conclusion that those may have been belongings stashed by someone who had feared they may be kicked out of their house and may have even have their stuff sold by the IRS like those in Hollywood movies. I have no idea what's going to happen, but what has been happening and the ways in which it has been happening are not very easy to bear though. Personally, I just hope I can succeed in my college education for the next year and then move away. Stefan in Sunnyvale. House prices, I haven't seen what they're doing out there, but yeah, I can imagine Silicon Valley's just gotten hammered bad, and just, you know, it's happening across the whole country. Again, if you're a listener of the show and you're looking for a job, the Geek News Central podcast job bank remains open. Send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. with your resume, okay? Or with what, you know, short summary of what your kind of work you're looking for. We want to connect people. I know there's some of you out there that are hurting and looking for jobs, so email away, okay? I think on the next show, we're going to do the Mac versus PC thing, so get your last comments in, and we'll go over everything that I've received over the last couple of weeks. Got an email from Jordan. He says, "Hey Todd, about 40% of the nation's hundreds of TV stations will be broadcasting completely in digital signals next week, even after regulators delayed a mandatory nationwide switch by months. So this is cool. The FCC said 681 of nearly 180 television broadcast stations will have already stopped broadcasting in older analog signals, or will be by next week. Very interesting. And if you guys listen to show number 450, I was supposed to say microorganism, okay? You can only imagine what I actually said, so I hope you guys could have got a good laugh out of that. And I got an email from – I forgot to put in a link up to Australian donations last show, so I'll do this tonight. But I got an email from Holger. Said, "Hey, Todd, I apologize for not being tech-related, but as you know, most like we're here in Victoria, Australia, I've had some devastating bushfires over the weekend, which are still going. Over 170 people killed and many homes and several towns lost. I was wondering if you could add the following links to your show notes to allow the Ohana to note to the victims of this terrible tragedy. I know I just missed a show, but I'm hoping it gets to you on time for the show notes. And I have a link up to Salvation Army and also the Red Cross. I forgot to put those in the show notes last show. I apologize for that, but I'll get that out. So anyway, that's it, folks. We're a wrap here. And I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me here for the last hour and 12 minutes. Comments to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. Be back with you same time, same place next week. Tuesday release of the show. Tell your friends about the podcast. Share. Tell people about our promo codes and everything. Help us keep the lights on here as we're continuing to move forward in this tough economy. And definitely appreciate all of your support and all of the Ohana for staying subscribed to the podcast. You're a great part of the family, and I love having you part of the audience. All right, for all of you, thanks, and stay subscribed. Aloha.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.